Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we got Rhea Ripley, Drew McIntyre, and Joe Tessitore. Buckle up, Wrestling Inc. It's going to be a good one. But before we get into that, let me introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Flobo Boyce and George Ramoza. And I introduced it, fellas. Don't know if you care or notice. I threw it back to the old way I used to do it when we were at another TV program. Everyone, this is a joy for me getting to work with you two. What are the first times there? Oh my gosh! And George printed it out. Big screen. How do I put him on the big screen?
Oh no!
Let's do this. How do I do?
Wait. That's not the that, wrong screen. The wrong that, screen.
How do I do this? In any case. George, how do I make you the big screen?
I have no idea.
Make me the big screen, drag him over, then drag George over. Yeah,
there we go.
Whatever, it will take it.
Anyways, this is a if your audio, this is horrible, but you see, the first time I ever got a reoccurring role talking about wrestling, it was with these two fellas at another company. After Buzz TV and George Ramos is holding up the picture there. So this is really cool that we get to all come together again. That picture, by the way, covering WWE SummerSlam.
Extreme Rules.
That was Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules. I don't remember.
Yeah, that predated SummerSlam.
So Extreme Rules. I don't know where I've been in my life. Come on now. Let's get things going. So this is a real cool moment for me. I'm happy to have you guys here. This is just a fun moment. We're being joined by some of my favorite people like Danny Cochran and Jose Topete and Rocky and, of course, Ethan Cruz. But, guys, let's start. Flobo, boys, join us on a Monday. How are you?
Yeah, you know, I know Monday's a flagship, but we've got to buckle in. It is a long episode here overall on this Labor Day. By the way, happy Labor Day, fellas.
You know, I love Labor Day because I work, and that means this holiday is all for me. George, how are you doing, buddy?
Man, if I can go back in time, I would order these smoking gun foam hats. Like, how cool is that? A good old-fashioned smoking gun foam cowboy hat for $11.95.
You're a Bart Gun guy, I could tell.
You could look like Lloyd Christmas at the beginning of Dumb and Dumber.
Or these Hacksaw Jim Duggan 2x4 foam. 2x4, whatever. And it says, you know what it says? It says, oh!
I should hope so. What'd you want to say? Please diversify your portfolio? That's Steve Duggan, baby.
Investing today exponentially grows your income.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, man. Lots of folks here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Before we do, you know, Flobo, you talked all weekend about WWE events, the PLEs and whatnot. George, but we didn't hear from you. Did you have a chance to watch any wrestling this weekend?
I watched every single minute of every wrestling show, whether it was Collision, SmackDown, but more importantly, Bash in Berlin and NXT, No Mercy.
Well, Brian with a special message here, liked and shared. I hope everybody else does the same here. Even if you're like Scotty in the Lurk Squad. I like the Lurk Squad. That's a shirt we need to print up.
But what PFP was that? Is that Beavis with a wig? Scotty Karma with the PFP. That looks like Beavis with a wig.
Is that, I don't know. I don't know. Scotty, you got to let us know who your profile picture is. George, one major takeaway from this weekend's wrestling. You've got to pick one.
Just one, huh? Aside from just being a great, great weekend of events.
No, is that your takeaway? That's all you get. You get one.
I can't wait for to see more Julia.
Julia is the big takeaway. I think that's what probably got most people astir this weekend.
I guess.
Speaking of, if you want to know more about what we talked about and what went down, whether it be talking about the Bash in Berlin or No Mercy, you can still check it all out. I recommend everyone go to YouTube or Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, and listen to some expert analysis from myself. Flobo says a few words, and we also get some expert analysis from Glenn Rubenstein as well.
I was looking down both shows this weekend. That's some spec of the name.
You got a group. They got a group on Flobo Boys here at Press Cleaning. But you know what? We're not done with these weekend wrestling shows. The PLEs this weekend make way for the PPVs, the pay-per-views. AEW All Out going down, and I'm going to be covering it along with Emily May, someone who a lot of people are calling possibly rookie of the year so far at Wrestling.
Another alumni.
After Buzz TV, we're taking over.
That's right, brother.
Awful. Okay, everyone in the chat so for the original NWO3, since we're taking over, I want you to pick who we are in the NWO, each person. Which person Flobo would be in the NWO?
If someone really does pick me as Hoban, I'd be upset.
Which person Jack Farmer would be, and which person George Hermosa would be. Which NWO members are we all? I hope I get Brian Adams.
What? You're totally a Horace Hogan guy. What are you talking about?
Horace Hogan, the greatest NWOite there ever was. Mm-hmm. Remember when Hogan called people the NWOites?
Oh, no, I don't. Thank goodness.
So cool. I mean, that was all about being cool bad guys, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Keith J. Good to see you in the chat. Let's see here. We got some news to chat about as we have everyone coming through here. By the way, Baby I says I'm the disciple.
Whoa!
I'll take that because he had a thick head of hair. Manish says Jack would be Hogan. I'll take that. Dylan asks, is it New Japan Pro Wrestling's Emily May? Yes,
one and the same.
But even though she was just in Berlin, Germany, she was in England last week for All In. This lady is taking over Pitbull's slogan because she is worldwide.
John Jordan upset about the rookie of the year phrase. John Jordan, as Flobo says in the chat, John Jordan about to cut a promo. John,
we got to get here.
I will say
on here.
I will say, speaking of John Jordan, did Emily May cover SmackDown, Money in the Bank, and Heat Wave all in the same weekend? I don't think so.
And you know besides, who
did? Me and John Jordan did.
What's up with Wrestling Inc. not putting me and John on the same show? Or is it like the hard brand split? What's going on?
I always thought you guys were the same person, like Clark Kent, Superman.
I totally see that.
Stephen Camp says I would be Eric Bischoff. I'll take that too. I was a big Eazy-E guy. But Fernando with my favorite answer, Buff Bagwell.
He's the stuff.
Flobo George.
Buff Bagwell had the Lloyd Christmas Dumb and Dumber haircut.
So this is a true statement. My entire life since Buff Bagwell is a pro wrestler, I've wanted to dress as Buff Bagwell for Halloween, but I've been insecure about how skinny my arms are. And so I've just never had the guts to do it. One of these days I'm going to Hulk up and I'm going to put a little armband around my arm. I'm going to do the right. This is, by the way, peak Buff Bagwell is Buff Bagwell with the NWO choker. That's the best Buff Bagwell.
If you ever interview him, can you tell him that story, please?
If I ever interview Buff Bagwell, yes. I'm opening with that.
Yes, by the way. 1,000%.
I think that's part of the joke, right? There's no way you could be swole enough. People would actually call you Buff. You're like, yeah. Like, Buff is like a thing people don't even say. It's like, you have vigor. You know what I mean? It's kind of a weird vibe. So go for it, man. It's
my Halloween. Favorite Buff Bagwell line ever, and we got to get to this show, is Roddy Piper says, they're in a promo battle, and he says to Buff, he goes, what is the stuff? And then Buff just says, you're looking at it. And I loved it. I was like, that is the best.
So cheesy.
That is the best. I loved it.
I was a big Buff Bagwell mark as well.
Tutgraph says Flobo's big sexy, George is Nash, and Jack is Oz.
It took me a second when I saw that comment. It took me a second to realize that they're all the same person.
Yeah, Vinny Vegas, man. What's up?
Who's Super Shredder?
Oh yeah, who is
John Jordan?
Mm. See, that's right. He's cutting the promo now. Hey, Colt Cabana.
Oh man, so lots and lots of good stuff. We got to get into the actual show here. We're gonna be here all day. We got some news, and this one is just kind of funsies. WWE SmackDown, AEW Collision are looking to go head to head. The Friday Night Wars we never knew were gonna happen. It's going to be happening this weekend, or this week, September 6th. This week, September 6th, because Collision's moving to Friday because All Out is on Saturday. George, the Friday Night Wars, right?
Yeah, it's more like a Friday night Nerf battle, you know? I wouldn't say, I wouldn't call it a war.
Those get more intense, actually. To be
honest. I'm actually looking in the market and buying a bigger gun. But it should be fun. It's the last SmackDown ever on Fox before they, you know, come up with a new contract in 10 years when they realize that they missed the WWE. It should be fun either way. I'm always a big fan of these head-to-heads. We're going to see another head-to-head in about a month or so with NXT and Dynamite. It should be fun. Hopefully Collision, SmackDown, in my opinion, always brings the big guns to the table, whether going head-to-head or not. But I'm really hoping that Collision comes to play.
Flobo, let's be honest.
Yo.
I don't think that the ratings are going to really matter in this one. We all know how it's going to go. On AEW Collision's typical time slot, it's nowhere near SmackDown. So being on a different time slot, probably not going to help them much there. So the war thing is a bit of just for fun. So I want to kind of pivot this question to you. You have not been warned about this. It is the last SmackDown on Fox. Give me your overall thoughts on the SmackDown on Fox era.
Wow, it ended pretty much as we thought it was going to be. Fox needed some programming because they had the Disney merger and they sold the studio. So there was nothing on Fox. WWE came in with a cheap product. It was great. I was there for the first episode. I saw Kofi's title run end. That was not great. But I do think that the sports presentation was the seeds planted that we're using today. So it was everyone was just floored about how SmackDown changed and updated. Now, granted, the pandemic got in the way, but the tenure was dope.
It's so funny. It tells you just how long this era was. You forget that. Oh yeah, Kofi Kingston was the world champion when they first moved to Fox, and Brock Lesnar squashed him to go into a feud with Cain Velasquez.
Like, unbelievable.
I mean, what are we talking about here? What a weird time. I'm going to go, and George, I'll give you a quick second to respond to the SmackDown era. I'm going to go on record and say, I think the SmackDown set from that first year, best weekly set ever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. 1,000%. I 100% agree. I thought it was a cool element.
Oh, it was 1,000%. Now it's 100%.
Already
riding the fence.
Yeah. I thought it was great. But one of the things, and I've said this publicly many, many times, is I think the current way they do the WWE draft, I think it's horrendous. I despise that element of like, oh, and coming to Monday Night Raw from Monday Night Raw, it's Jey Uso. Like, okay, like, who cares, right? Or they show to the war room and everybody's celebrating as if like something's changing. But I honestly, and I say that because I honestly think that that was something that Fox implemented. I could be very wrong. I'm just guessing here. I really think that was a Fox implementation because we only saw that version of the WWE draft after because it was a second episode of the SmackDown on Fox. So I feel like that was a Fox thing. So now that Fox is not going to be in the picture anymore, I'm really curious if that's how they're going to continue the draft, because I think it's one of the worst shows that they usually do all week or all year. But either way, I'm excited to see what this next era of SmackDown is going to be on the USA Network.
The draft is going to suck forever. You can't do a draft with two teams.
No, that is not true.
It's not going
to
work.
It used to be great.
No, it
the
doesn't.
The draft used to be amazing, like in 04 and 05.
We're totally getting out of the wheels here. But the reason why the draft was great is because the idea of having a separate brand was cool. But the two brands are living. You can't do a draft with two teams. It's going to be lame either way. I'm sorry.
It wasn't cool when John Cena first showed up on the highlight reel.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's fine, but that's also 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Okay, there's no reason why they can't do that anymore now.
I got it. Nope. Okay, I got to bang the gavel here. We got to move on. We got a lot of stuff to cover here tonight. We're going to move on to another piece of news. TNA Knockouts champ Jordynne Grace teases a move to the WWE by tweeting out, quote, "Time to play the game." Grace has been featured on WWE television three times, last time for NXT Battleground in June. Her contract reportedly ends January 2025. Reports suggest that while WWE is interested in signing Grace, they will not try to, quote, steal her from TNA. So, Flobo, this is a situation where I think as soon as this whole thing started, we all said Jordynne Grace is going to WWE when her contract is up. Do you think that this tweet means that it's imminent?
Yes, but I do think that note you said about not stealing Jordan's very, very important. I think a lot of people of a certain age, we're talking people in their 40s and 50s, were just so mad about the territory era being done, how WWE became a class brand. It is really treading water with the whole work with other promotions and see how are they going to continue. If you start robbing talent, that could look bad at WWE's part. So it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a lot of kid gloves with Jordynne Grace, but definitely is on the horizon.
Yeah, George, I think we all agree. Anyone who's seen Jordynne Grace knows that she's the real deal. She's legit. She's someone who you could stack in front of anybody, put anywhere on the card, on any brand. Huge signing for WWE. Probably someone they would have signed regardless of the relationship they built or not. But what are your thoughts on this if you're TNA? Do you feel a little slighted here? Do you feel like, hey, we get to call ourselves a backdoor into WWE? What do you think TNA is thinking about this?
Considering how successful TNA's been with their live events, selling out Emergence this past Friday, selling out the Slammiversary show in Montreal, I'm sure they are ecstatic at anything that where WWE has some kind of influence, whether it's with contracts or stories or, we had, I'm going to say Nash Carter. We had Zachary Wentz come over on Wesley and actually score a W at No Mercy. So I think TNA kind of understands the business aspect of everything that's going on. And they can't really be upset because they know it's inevitable. You know, it'll be something though if Jordynne Grace goes to AEW. Now that would be something. It's not going to happen because I think she knows exactly, you know, how not to burn bridges. And she knows how much of an asset and that WWE thinks she is. But I think she's going to be going up to the main roster when she does come up. I think she's already kind of done whatever she can do with NXT. They have NXT women go down to TNA and to face Jordynne Grace. She's already come in and faced Roxanne Perez for the NXT championship. Like, what really more is there to do? So I wouldn't be surprised if she, when she does get signed by WWE, it's going to be automatically on the main roster.
So you think straight to Raw, SmackDown, no NXT?
1,000%.
Final, just real quick, yes or no, Flobo. NXT or main roster for Jordynne Grace, if you're the one making the decision?
I am. Me?
You are. You are. You're not predicting what you think will happen.
NXT.
What would you do?
NXT.
Okay. NXT. Okay. Well, I said one word, so I'm not going to let you... Let you explain. We'll all wonder forever the rest of our days. I'll be an old man in my rocking chair going, what did Flobo mean by Jordynne Grace going to NXT? Someone who has signed a contract with WWE is Asuka. PW Insider Elite reports that Asuka has come to terms with WWE on what is described as a, quote, long-term contract. The specific terms regarding the new deal weren't disclosed, though the deal will guarantee Asuka more than a decade in WWE, having first signed with the promotion back in August of 2015. George, these kind of stats always make me feel so old because Asuka being in WWE for 10 years is mind-blowing to me, but seems like a no-brainer. Sign Asuka.
Yeah, I feel like Triple H has always been high on her anyways, having that undefeated streak in NXT, essentially going to the main roster without having to lose the championship and so carry on that undefeated streak going into WrestleMania 34. But I feel like she's always been highly valued in the WWE, having multiple title reigns, always being in the loop whenever she is, whether she's healthy. So I think this is a good signing, especially with all these new influx of talent coming in, whether it's NXT or WWE. Asuka is kind of in that same category as a Natty, where she still looks great. She can still go in the ring at any time and still be that leadership figure for many of the women that are coming in and already on the roster.
Yeah, Flobo, I'm a huge fan of Asuka. I think everyone, I don't know if I've met anyone who's like, I hate Asuka. I'm not interested. this slam dunk, I mean, you look at the history she has with WWE, she still has miles left for sure, but I see her being a lifer in WWE. And when I say lifer, I mean, she'll probably have a Legends contract. She'll probably be Hall of Fame bound. I mean, she's someone that is just probably going to be there forever, right?
Absolutely. I mean, she's like the most toyetic person on the roster, not named Cody Rhodes, and the games itself is a valuable asset. So, yeah, I mean, Asuka basically gave her prime years. I mean, she was in the company for almost 10, or will be 10 now. So why not get some of that money in the back end?
I'm glad she's there. She's also a great follow on social media if anyone's looking for a fun follow.
And YouTube.
Absolutely great. Tut Graf says that Hall of Fame speech will be remarkable. I'm sure it will be. WWE star no longer listed on roster page. Fightful Sean Ross Sapp revealed Odyssey Jones' profile has been removed from WWE's roster page. Sapp further noted that someone had messaged him yesterday suggesting that Sapp ask WWE about any changes to Jones' status. WWE talent Sapp had spoken to were surprised to see Jones off the roster page. A later update confirmed Jones wasn't at tonight's Raw tapings, though his overall status with the WWE remains uncertain. So I'm going to do this a little differently. George, I want your take on this, but I don't want just George Hermosa's take. I want you to wildly speculate what you think this means. Wild, let the horses free. What's the wildest speculation about what's going on here?
First things first, when this new story kind of started breaking, I loved Xavier Woods's tweet. He just tweeted, "Ain't got nothing to do with me," and mm-hmm. that's all he put. And we all know, you know, he loves, you know, kind of giving those little subliminal messages. But I'm gonna go on a wild one and say he was, as he said, as Vince said to Jeff Jarrett on the last Nitro, double F, double I, double R, double E, double D, fired.
Fired.
So, Flobo, George gave us the wild speculation and a horribly misspelled fired.
Breaking news, he's right.
Flobo, I want you to give us the more, like, give me the lame, playing it safe, stay in your lane, no spice, plain chicken breast version of the story.
Yeah, it looks like Odyssey Jones is going to be able to pursue other endeavors, as the WWE is a business with talent that usually has a rotation of new talent coming in and new talents leaving as well. So we say best of luck to both the organization and Odyssey Jones in his next chapter.
So you guys both think he got let go?
Absolutely. I thought you were gonna, he's on TV every week. Are you kidding?
I thought you were gonna say that it was like a glitch or something, like something actually cool. Like, oh yeah, it really was Xavier Woods that got him fired.
Oh, absolutely.
That deleted his page from the WWE Superstars page.
Guys, I know we were short on time, but you've been grinding at NXT for years. You were Johnny Gargano's one of his groomsmen for his wedding. You get called up not once but twice. You sit on the bench and he's like, "I'm out." Come on.
It's not the first time it happened.
I mean, what if it was just a computer mess up? Like some tech guy sitting at his computer in his basement, probably should be at work, but work from home, I guess.
Sure.
You know, and he messed up the website. What if that's all it is?
And so Odyssey's like, "Well, because I'm not going to work today." So you didn't see him on Raw this week?
What if he just wasn't booked? I mean, Woods wasn't there.
He's at Dragon Con.
Well, maybe Odyssey Jones is at Dragon Con.
Apparently he is not at Dragon Con. There's no proof.
Is Dragon Con in Australia? That is such a deep cut. No one's going to care.
You know what? There are Australians there.
Dylan says, what if it's storyline? Wow, you're Flobo. Your plain chicken breast is spicy.
No, it's only Old Bay, I swear.
Look at this guy. Old Bay is pretty spicy.
It has a kick to it, actually.
Old Bay does get me sweaty a little bit. I do say Old Bay better have some water.
That celery salt is just too high, man. It's too much. I tried.
Let's talk about this episode of Raw. Man, this is a fun show. We're just goofing around. But I want to say thank you to everyone who has left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, who has liked, commented, shared, and subscribed. Always very helpful to us here. Also want to give a shout out a few people. You know, I said we talked about shooting our shot, and I said, hey, I want to be on a pre-show one of these days for like a PLE or something like that. And I actually had some folks tweet it out, and I appreciate that. That means the world to me. So thank you so much to everyone who did that. I want to thank all the folks who are in the chat, like Danny Cochran, Jose Tepede, Rocky. We got Steven, Ethan, Montez, Andy, Scott, Adonde, Ricky. Did I say Ricky already? Brianne, Carrie, Sherrod, Dylan, the Jif King, Jane, Josie, Lurkin, Tuck Graff, stalking you with the dog emoji. Eric Lee, haven't seen you before. Scotty Karma, Lurk Squad, Manish. It's the morning for Manish, Matthew Lee, Chasers, Joey Madrano. I haven't seen you before, Joey. Thanks for coming through. Baby Ice and Fernando, John Jordan, Rookie of the Year, John Jordan. I throw that out to everybody. It's a participation award. Ray J's World, Amanda M, Maria, Reaper Brink.
Honey, I didn't get one. I've been here for a year. You didn't give me one last year.
Honey Bun in the chat as well. Long time lurker. Casey J, War Hero, and everyone else. Lots of folks. Jeff Bailey. So many folks. I can't get through y'all. Hari and everyone else. Appreciated. Killer of Demons. That's the show. That's a lot of people. Thank you guys for coming through.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I want to talk first, broad strokes, about this. Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett, the new commentary team. I love that they started the show, putting them over, and Wade Barrett introducing Joe and letting everybody know that he's the new voice. Before I get into my thoughts here, George, I'm going to give you the stage. What do you think about this new commentary team?
Joe Tessitore has given me a lot of Mauro Ranallo vibes. And I mean that in the best possible way. Joe Tessitore brings that kind of legitimacy because he comes from like ESPN and whatnot. I will say for his first week in pro wrestling, I thought it was really good. I feel like maybe he still needs to capture like the sports entertainment element of pro wrestling. But if this was his first week, then I can't wait to see what his first month is going to be like. Because, yeah, I thought he did really good.
I thought... First off, I think his voice is phenomenal. He's got just a great voice. I think a lot of the things that he tripped up on is stuff that will just figure itself out having been there for a while, like certain move names and things like that. But I think understanding storytelling, he totally got that. I think he did an incredible job. And Wade Barrett continues to impress me. And you could see not only is he clever and fun and good at his job, but he actually, the way he kind of caught Joe a few times and helped him out. Flobo, what was your thought on the new commentary team?
Well, you really can't replace Michael Cole, right? So I was expecting Michael Cole. I forgot Tessitore was going to be in the booth. And I'm not going to say I didn't like the intro, but it definitely was a step down on the energy level. And so that's something that we have to think about. Like, not everyone could be Mauro. Not everyone could be Michael Cole. Not everyone could be Corey Graves. But I will say he's a lot further along than Adnan Virk was when he was in that booth. And I didn't even give him the edge over Jimmy Smith. Remember that guy?
What about, was he better than Mike Adamley?
Yes, we can't make fun of Mike Adamley. He's out of bounds. But I'm just saying, like,
you're making me crazy.
The Cutler did it. No, don't do that because he has a dementia. So, but the thing is about the idea about him being in the booth, he's a lot more further along. I didn't quite believe him being like saddened or like shocked. He's kind of like, someone get people out here. But that's something that comes with over time. Yeah, so yeah. I agree. A B plus for him. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I think, again, stuff I think will – I think he did pull it out a few times, like during – and we'll talk about the Drew McIntyre segment and some other times. But, yeah, I thought he did a fantastic job. Again, I think Wade Barrett is truly a hidden treasure on their commentary team. I can't put him over enough. And I love that – I don't know if you guys noticed, he keeps dropping Oasis, like, references. And I don't – it's kind of like – do you guys remember that movie The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, where their police chief kept saying TLC song lines?
Yeah.
And they're like, did you just quote TLC? And they were like, no, why would I do that? I feel like that's how I feel listening to Wade Barrett. He keeps referencing, saying things that are very Oasis based. And I'm like, is he quoting Oasis or is that just
he's popping you, man? Because no one else, either we don't get it or we don't care. But you're like,
is anyone else noticing this?
Maybe. You're going to be the one that saves me.
Ah, I was waiting.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I was waiting for it.
And after all,
we're moving on.
You're my wonder.
No. We're going to say right here. Because like, Oasis. This guy does a reference. You're like, oh, we're moving on. Are you kidding me, John? Which one is it?
I did catch a couple of Champagne Supernova references too.
Yeah, where's the Dory? You need him.
KCJ says, I like the Oasis references. I think it's fun. I don't know if he's going to do it all the time, but I enjoy it.
He should switch it up, though. It's like this week, Oasis. Next week, like Bon Jovi or something.
Isn't that what Mauro did, though? He always had a song reference.
You should have like a hip-hop reference.
Yeah, that's Mauro's thing.
Yeah, Jeff Bailey says probably because they just announced their tour. I was thinking maybe he's just a big Oasis fan. Robert, though, saying, what's up, fellas? Jack's hair is on point. Fun fact, no product in there today, baby. This is unnatural. That's why it's dipping on the side here a little bit. Let's talk a bit about Dan. He says, I love Wink karaoke. Okay, guys, time to sing our songs.
No.
we already have the dance club on Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah. But Flobo, what's your dance?
I don't have one.
What's your wrestling? You got to have a wrestling dance.
I do not have to have one. No, I do not.
Everyone in the chat, let us know what Flobo's dance is going to be so that he can dance it by the end of the show.
Don't listen to him. We have a show to cover.
So we have the most natural thing in the IWC is Jack's hair.
Oh, boo.
It's true, though. Thank you, Dylan.
It's got that Conan O'Brien hair going.
Whoa, yeah, you got to do the Muscle Man dance.
I don't remember the Muscle Man dance anymore. it's been too long.
Rhea Ripley, she welcomes us to Monday Night Mommy. She says she pinned the champ. She says she deserves a shot. Dominic comes out and says Liv isn't scared, but she's too banged up right now. So Liv tries to sneak attack Ripley. Dom runs out. Damian runs out to help Ripley. Rhea gets caught in the ropes. Her leg gets hurt. She's seen by doctors, and Damian calms her down. This leads to a tag team match after finding a partner. Damian Priest versus Jey Uso and the Judgment Day versus the Judgment Day. When the good guys have the advantage, Liv Morgan shows up to turn the tables. Rhea Ripley comes out, revealing that she's not as injured as she made it out, and she helps Jey and Damian get the win. So that was kind of the bookends of our show. George, you said you had some heavy thoughts on this, so I'm going to come to you second. Flobo, fun little facts. Today, Liv Morgan's 100th day as the women's champion, making her the second longest to hold that title. Kind of a crazy stat. And also, Rip, okay. What?
There's only two women's champions, though.
Three. Put some respect on Becky Lynch.
No.
Yeah. So
it was like 2 weeks.
that. So
transitional AF. Okay.
But also, Rhea Ripley calls that pin she does the pretzel pin. So I want your thoughts on the pretzel pin and everything we saw tonight.
Well, the pretzel pin is something that's very effective, but it's definitely something I can't show half my friends because it suggests that it was pretty fun. But look, I like the main event. I know you and I were talking about this in the chat while the match was going, but I felt like Jey Uso didn't have much to do if he's going to be the Bloodline thing on SmackDown. But this one here felt pretty fun. I felt like I understood why Jay's helping out Rhea Ripley. So the match was great. But what was kind of weird, though, was having Tessa Torre also make fun of JD's head. It's like, hey, you're new to the club, bro. Leave JD's head alone.
Yeah, you got to earn the right to make fun of JD's head.
Yeah.
I can imagine, funny, as they're building it up, as Joe's getting ready to be on the show, Michael Cole being like, by the way, make fun of this guy's head and how massive it is. Right. Or he just picked it up himself. He's like, wow, did anyone notice
this head? You guys notice this?
I got what this was all about. I was fine with everything. It didn't feel very spicy to me. Didn't feel very Old Bay to me. I didn't.
it's not spicy.
It's so funny because I've actually literally recently been on an Old Bay like kick, and I've been putting it on like every lately.
And it's not spicy for using
so
it.
It's funny. I get why they did it. I thought this was kind of lackluster. I wasn't super pumped about this. But George, what were you were excited to talk about this? You were like fired up. You looked like the anger character from Inside Out building up to this. What were your thoughts?
No, I mean, like, it was fun. I don't want to take anything away from the funness, but I do feel like there's a little bit unnecessary twists and turns coming up that have been happened a couple weeks ago. You have Sami Zayn and Jey Uso talking a couple weeks ago about how they want to go after the tag team titles and whatnot. So I thought they were going to be a team. And if there's one thing I hate, more than anything, is when you have what's supposed to be the best tag team champions on Raw or the world, whatever you want to say, lose to a team that's not a champions. And it's like, it just kind of like diminishes the tag team championships. And that's something that, you know, we all thought they were going to give a little bit more prestige to titles. We've seen the IC title mean something in the last couple of years. But I feel like the fact that they haven't even defended the championships since winning them. And two, they are in a match and they lose. Now, are we supposed to expect that Damian Priest and Jey Uso are the number one contenders for the championships? But, you know, I don't know. It's just a lot of like confusion when it came to that. I would have liked it to maybe be someone else or whatever. But either way, I mean, it was a fun. I don't want to take anything away from the funness. Now you have something maybe going on with like Jey Uso and Rhea. You know, that's been kind of getting teased for like a good 6 months. So I'm curious how they're going to follow it up. But based on tonight, I wasn't really excited about it.
I thought it was interesting. Scott Langford says Jay was talking. Sammy was just listening. like, that's how I would back out of helping a friend.
You do that. that's a very in real life thing, Jack.
I'm a terrible friend. So yeah, I it's funny because yeah, now Rhea is possibly going to be talking with Jay, and it's interesting that there's a lot of romance going on around this group of people here. Potentially, maybe not. Maybe they'll just be friends. We'll see. Everyone in the chat, let us know how you thought about what you thought about this and your takeaways about how this is all going to break down. We got a segment here that I'm very excited to talk about. Gunther versus Sami Zayn. First, Gunther pushes past Kofi Kingston and goes to the ring to tell us that he has beaten the greatest version of Randy Orton. Then Sami Zayn comes out and says, hey, the IC title's just a stepping stone, so I want to get to the world title now. Gunther says, nah. And then Sami Zayn says, and I quote, bark. And so it looks like that's where we're going, this championship matchup, Flo. But before you speak, George, do you like the idea of getting Gunther versus Sami Zayn? Does this make you excited? Do you want to see these guys have a match?
I think this is great. This made sense. Take away all the other stuff that I mentioned about Sami and Jay potentially going after the tag titles. This made sense because if you're Sami Zayn and you see an opening for a world title shot, why wouldn't you go after Gunther? You are the last person to pin Gunther at WrestleMania. I think maybe even the only person to pin Gunther in the WWE. So it makes sense. And I like that story aspect of, maybe I wanted to see a little bit more of, you've had your opportunity, Sami Zayn, but you just can't win it. So maybe I like that story to kind of maybe come back when it comes to the world title. I don't think Gunther's going to lose it, but I'd like for them to kind of bring that back. Now that Sami has gained a lot of more, did the Chad Gable thing and did all that stuff. So I'd like to see now Sami with this mentality go after the world championship.
I get it. I understand why they're doing it. And so I'm okay with it. I'm on board with it. But I do feel a little bit like Sami Zayn just had a high stake title match with Gunther. And I feel like his Intercontinental Championship reign wasn't exactly awe-inspiring either. So him being a challenger doesn't feel that enticing to me. Again, I know that Gunther's still in the early stage of the title reign where you sort of have to feed him people because he's not going to lose the first few people. And you don't want to have your biggest names against him during these first few championship breaks. So I get it. I'm just not super on board with it. Flobo, what are your thoughts on Sami Zayn being the guy?
Sami Zayn comes out and gives me a filler promo and a filler segment on a filler night with a filler guy on a roster that's the filler feud for Gunther. I am not on board. And the thing is, he's been gone for weeks and he already feels stale. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, Ska is a scourge. Get it away from this. Gunther needs somebody else to fight. Come on.
So who would you have him fight then?
Anyone but Sami Zayn.
I can't say that. That is such a cop-out answer, though.
It's the best cop-out answer because, you know what? The Sami Zayn Gunther thing had already been done at WrestleMania.
Not for the world title, though.
But who cares? Who's like, you know what? We're really running back with a different piece of gold and black.
Yes.
No one was saying
Rock that. And Triple H did it all the time.
You didn't even realize Sami Zayn was gone.
I did realize it when I was complaining about the Jey Uso Damian Priest thing.
Oh, okay. Today, maybe. But I'm letting you know that Sami Zayn is someone that he comes out and loves his thing, right? Great. You know Gunther's going to beat him. You know that he's going to break him in half. Let's get on with this. Some things are flickers in a retread. And then it came out today. I was like, you're offering nothing new by saying, I had a title. It's a stepping stone. That is lazy motivation if there ever was one.
Wow. I am hurt about what you said about Ska earlier.
How come you hate Ska too? No one likes Ska.
Listen, I love the NWO. I love big groups. And there's no bigger bands than Ska bands. They have, Mighty Mighty Boss Stones. They have a guy who just dances for no reason.
I liked Real Big Fish.
How do you not like Real Big? Sell out with me. Oh, yeah.
That was like 15 years ago. Stop.
It was more than 15
years. That's like 25 years ago.
She has a girlfriend now.
See?
No. See, I mean, come on. How do you hate a brand of music that is so uplifting?
Did you see that
beautiful Operation Ivy style sign for Sami Zayn?
Yeah, you know what was funny? This guy who comes out, he's like, I believe in hard work. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. This is a stepping stone. It doesn't even make sense.
If you were Gunther, wouldn't you want to avenge that loss?
No, and I'll tell you why, because Gunther got a bigger prize and beat down two people that are on higher on the food chain. Sami Zayn was on the bench, and he shows up again, be like, I want a title shot. Gunther's already passed him. When he said no, I felt that.
Well, I guess it's time to move on.
Killing me,
Flobo. How can you? I'm just.
Do you have something against Sami Zayn?
Well, yes, ska music is terrible. No, and two, the thing is, look, man, you can always be the underdog workhorse for a certain amount of time until you're like, you can't keep saying that. That is your rich friend being like, I had two jet skis and one jet ski broke. I know how struggle is in life. No, you have the championship. You won at WrestleMania. You had the Intercontinental title. You put down Gunther with the longest reign. You have done it all. You can't be the underdog now, Sammy.
Made by Don says, I'm sorry. I am still amazed. How can Jack's hair be natural and it is not moving with his head movement?
It's a toupee.
Are you sure it's real?
I don't know.
So long ago, my hair became self-aware and it now does its own. It controls itself.
I'm telling you, if I cover your face, you look like Conan O'Brien.
That's not the best compliment I've ever received, but I'll take it.
He has great hair.
It stands up very straight. I will say that. So I guess across the board, none of us are super thrilled about this one, but I think
I am.
You're thrilled.
Absolutely. If they had a banger of a match at WrestleMania. You think I don't want to see a banger of a match at Bad Blood?
I guess you're right. I got to ask you this question. Flobo and I argued about this. So it's September 1st or September 2nd, I should say. That means it's September. That means it's what some people call spooky season, right? The pumpkin spice lattes are out. Halloween is right around the corner. Once we hit Halloween, we're in that stretch of holidays, right? The Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, right? They all kind of come together. That time of year is beautiful. And then when it's over, it's the new year. Geez, that means it's Royal Rumble. Flobo or George, is it WrestleMania season already?
Almost. I think tomorrow WrestleMania season starts.
Nah, I love you, George. We're in the same page here. It's time for WrestleMania.
It creeps up on you. You're like, oh man, it's 6 months away, but I'm like, oh my god, it's tomorrow. It like totally creeps up on you in so many ways.
It's WrestleMania. So everyone in the chat, you've heard it here first. It is now officially WrestleMania season.
6 months long.
So it's yeah, basically. Look, we waited till SummerSlam was over, okay? We're gonna start playing Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. We're gonna start playing The Weeknd because that'll probably be the theme for WrestleMania this year.
It always is, yeah.
God, what? Weeknd signed a deal with the devil or something. He is every single year. He's got to go in the Hall of Fame. I want to talk about CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. CM Punk comes out and he says it's time to put the personal stuff behind him and get down to business. So he wants a shot at the title. Unfortunately, Drew McIntyre wants to beat him up. And so Drew McIntyre comes out and he feeds the bracelet to CM Punk like a big Scottish mama bird to a little Chicago chickadee. George, talk to me about what you think we just saw between Drew McIntyre and CM Punk.
First off, happy anniversary to the firing of CM Punk in AEW. I think it's 1 year ago today.
Weird thing to congratulate, but
I mean, look how it turned out for him.
Yeah, it did work out.
First off, I wasn't really a fan of Punk kind of going after the championship after only having one win in the WWE, and you didn't even beat him by pinfall. I think that kind of goes a long way, the fact that you haven't pinned anybody or had anybody make anybody submit. With that said, I absolutely love this segment. I think not that this feud needed it to go to the next level because I think it was already up there, but man, I remember watching it today. I'm like, dude, like, listen, I'm all for the bracelet. I get what it means. I get the story behind it. I'm not a complainer about the bracelet. But at some point, I thought that Drew had to just completely tear apart the bracelet. And he did that. And I'm like, yes. 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 1000%. I thought this was great. The way he shoved it in his mouth. The way he still gave him the claymore afterward. This is everything I think right about this feud.
Droy J says 1-1 Punk wants a title shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he's won one match in 10 years. But you know what? That's what the that's how the part-timers go. Flobo, I'm watching this, and to me, what I'm seeing, and maybe I'm wrong here, is this smells like CM Punk's going to be gone until Survivor Series.
Yeah.
To me, that's this smells like Drew gets his heat back, as they say. CM Punk can be gone for a few months, and when he comes back for Survivor Series, we heat right back up and all is well in the world again. How did you feel about this?
At first I was disappointed. I thought because of how CM Punk won in Berlin, it seemed pretty decisive. I mean, how many good GTSs did Drew? Four in total and three back to back to back. So I thought he was done. And when I saw that when Drew came back and hit him again, I go, oh my gosh, we're going to have this extended. What can possibly be the next chapter? But I don't think necessarily it's going to be another Hell in a Cell match right now. But you got to have to find a way to get CM Punk off TV because he doesn't have the date, doesn't have the body, doesn't have the stamina to go week after week. So I'm with the idea. I think it's always money. I think it may be a way to push this to Mania season or Royal Rumble season. So I see a big PLE out of all of them. But to me, it felt like you could have ended it on Saturday, and I think we all would have been satisfied.
You're saying no, George.
No, I didn't think it was over. I knew they would have a bigger blow-off. Maybe not Bad Blood, if not Bad Blood. Although I don't want to see them in a Hell in a Cell. I'd rather see Rhea and Liv in a Hell in a Cell, and I'm saying that now. That I want to see Rhea and Liv in a Hell in a Cell compared to that one. But I didn't think it was done. You got to have the rubber match. You got to have somehow Drew get his comeuppance. I think he's the better long-term investment. It's only a matter of time before Drew gets that championship, the rightful championship run in front of an audience. So I knew that this was going to be something happening today. But I'm happy how everything rolled out.
I kind of was hoping they'd go their separate ways. I don't really know if there's really much more for them to do at this point.
This guy was something else. I mean, the whole bracelet thing finally is over, but what are they fighting for now? I think it's the answer.
Because they've already heated it up to the point where it's on site for both of them. So I don't know how you build this week in and week out for another show, because it's already boiled over. You know, it's like GM mode in the game where it's like this, it's too hot. You've already peaked it out. You can't.
Level
you can't.
Four.
I don't know. I think after today, it's on a whole new level.
Do you? When do you think it'll peak? When do you think it'll be finished?
Whenever they're after their next match.
And that, do you think that'd be Bad Blood, or do you think they're going to hold off?
I think it'll be Bad Blood.
When is Bad Blood? How long away is it?
October 5th.
First of October.
That's a long time to have these guys continue to do this. Punk,
he won't be on Raw the next week. And then he'll be back on the 16th of September. And they'll have, you know, 2-3 weeks to kind of go back and forth and, you know, do whatever they need to do. But yeah, I think now that he destroyed the bracelet, I think it's on a whole new level.
Joy J says, now I want to see Jack super angry yelling on site to someone. You've never seen me in a production meeting.
Wow. Gangsta.
We got a couple of Intercontinental Championship qualifying match tournament matches for the four-way. Dominic Mysterio, Dragon Lee, and Ilya Dragunov have a match. Of course, it all falls apart when Damian Priest chases off Dominic Mysterio and Ilya Dragunov gets the win in that match. Braun Strowman, Sheamus, and Ludwig Kaiser have a match. Of course, Bronson Reed lost the opportunity, didn't lose the opportunity, but he had COVID, so was unable to make it. Braun Strowman took his spot. Pete Dunne costs Sheamus the match, and now Braun Strowman's going into that four-way next week. But backstage, Jey Uso had a run-in with Braun Breaker that was pretty heated. Flobo, we got this tournament for this Intercontinental Championship match happening, but do you like that Braun Breaker is interacting with Jey Uso, or do you feel like this is giving it away?
I think Braun Breaker has to do that because he is a, no pun intended, dog in the yard. And I get the fact that everyone loves Jey Uso and everyone loves the – I didn't mean to do a pun. I kind of just got myself.
Don't say unintentional.
I didn't mean it. I was freestyling. No, it wasn't. Pun was not intended. Pun was not intended. I'm on. I hate puns. I hate them. But the thing is, the tournament's a sham. The whole tournament's a sham. Everyone's getting involved. It's kind of like, let's see, who's it going to be? Why not if you're Braun Breaker? If everyone's attacking everyone else, there's only three or four guys who legitimately don't have people that hate him already. Why not go intimidate every single one of them and start it with Jay this week?
Well, he messed with Jay last week too, and he's not messed with. He hasn't interacted with anybody else in this so far.
There's still time
because Jay's the heavy favorite. Jay is the heavy favorite.
I mean, he is, but George isn't. Doesn't it feel less like I'm excited to see who it is, and more like now I want to see this finish so we can get to the next part of this? Like, they
yes.
kind of tilted their hand. Is that not a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
Predictability is never really a bad thing, but at the same time, like, what exactly are we trying to get out of it? You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be Jey Uso that's going to win this tournament. So as long as the road to it is enjoyable, then I'm all for it.
I love the things that Braun has said. I just feel like I wish they were said after Jey Uso won the number one contendership, because now the excitement isn't as interesting now that I feel like it's just messing up if Jey Uso doesn't win.
Well, I would say that if it was a straight up like classic tournament, like a King of the Ring style, then yeah. But this tournament here is like a mess. And it really is. If you're Braun, there's no one else who doesn't have a side thing. Oh, this is Dragon Lee. And he didn't win his match today. So why not go over the person who looks like a clear lane to actually win the whole thing?
Well, Braun Strowman and Ilya Dragunov are kind of free.
Ilya Dragunov's been riding the bench for weeks. And Braun Strowman is like injured. That's not even a threat. Jey Uso's a threat. Rhea may come out.
That's two of the three. Who's the other person in there?
Pete Dunne. I will tell you this though.
People don't have anything in that going on. Pete Dunne's the only one that has something going on.
What is up with Pete Dunne? Like, if I can, maybe overall, I'm just like not a confrontational person. Like, well, if I have to, but like, you know, I'm a talker. Like, I like everybody. I want everybody to like me. But like, if you got issues with somebody in NXT with Trick Williams, like how twisted in the head do you have to be to want to get involved with so many people, whether it's going after Sheamus on Raw and going after Trick Willie on NXT? Like, dude, like, kudos, man, you got balls.
I mean, it is a conflict business.
Yeah,
but like, I would think, man, like, just stick to like one person at a time, but like openly wanting to feed with two people at the same time,
hey, more targets.
Just don't call him Butch.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. I do like the history. I love that Braun has said no one in your family has beaten someone from my family. I think that's just a great historical play.
WrestleMania 9.
A few things. Dylan Matthews says, you think Jack's hair is sitting well now. You haven't seen anything until you see the hair in a production meeting.
Dylan.
You're right. My hair gets pretty reckless in a production meeting. But he also says puns are always intended.
Wrong.
Flobo, true? Is this true or false? For someone who says you don't like puns, is this true or false?
False.
Flobo Boyce, the man who had a pun calendar for an entire year, doesn't do puns on purpose.
You know dang well that was a gift I accepted.
Did you have a pun calendar for a year?
It was a Christmas gift, but I didn't buy it myself.
Oh, Mr. I don't like puns.
I still don't like them.
I don't like puns. Every day, 365 times in a row, you read a pun.
You told me to read them. Yeah. I didn't like them.
I mean, I guess it's that comedic background, but you are a punny dude.
Stop. Puns are awful.
Everyone in the chat and everyone in the comments, leave your best pun so Flobo can read them. And
don't do that. First, the dancing is beyond the pale. Now the puns too.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Is it true you played football in high school? Right.
I did.
Oh, were you a punter?
No. I played nose. Okay. I played nose.
God, I just came up with that on the spot.
Oh, yeah, you're a genius. Oh, look at me. That's why puns suck. Everyone thinks they suck the landing. Oh, that was clever.
I was going to say, George, I believe you. We got, speaking of football and All-Americans, we got American Made versus Alpha Academy. Chad Gable gives his guys a pep talk before the matchup. Alpha Academy is up, but that is... The Alpha Academy is doing well. I lost my place in here, particularly when Maxine Dupree was up. But then Chad Gable shows up and distracts Dupree and allows Ivy Nile to get the win for their team. Post-match, Gable calls out Wyatt Six for an 8-man tag team street fight. And Uncle Howdy says, and I quote, sure. George, I feel like the battle of this post-show so far and what we've talked about is, should they have wrapped this up already, or do we need to continue it?
I am so over the Wyatt Sexton American Made, American Me, whatever it's called. I'm so over this feud. Like, why is it happening? Like, did they ever explain why they went after Chad Gable?
No. Oh, well, I guess they did. They said they alluded to going after people who don't like their family or something. They had that kind of, you know, but they said in the dark and twisted, like, shepherds of your flock are
I don't know.
Your lambs to slaughter.
Oh, and the lambs to slaughter.
I think this group has so much potential, but yeah, I think it needs to move on. We're in one. I mean, the story from this whole segment is Maxine Dupree. I think she has improved so much in the last 6 months to the point where every time she's in the ring, I want more. I want more. I'm loving everything that she does. Everything has purpose. Everything has meaning. Everything looks flawless, to be honest with you. I need to see more. I think she's looked fantastic in the last few weeks.
She's done a really good job. I got to agree. Flobo, I got to shout you out. Your fan showed up. Ebony here is asking us to quit making fun of you. I lost the chat. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Ebony Washington, thank you for defending Flobo's honor from George here, who's just being a jerk this whole time.
And Jack, too. But
Flobo, what are your thoughts? I felt like I was a little bummed out they called out the Wyatt Six again, because it feels like we've seen this already. I think I'm ready for both of them to go their separate ways. I don't really know if I care to see it again. I also was a little disappointed. It feels like there was all this goodwill and emotion and investment into Alpha Academy versus American Made, but now it feels like that sort of just got thrown under the bus for the Wyatt Six.
Yeah, I'm tired of all three of them. I really felt the Creed Brothers or American Made and the Alpha Academy, that's pretty much done. They didn't want to deal with Chad. They don't want to hang with them. And we keep having this feud. The Wyatt Six obviously needs a second target, but they haven't really dispatched Chad either. Like, Chad Gable should be pretty much easy for them. There's six or five of them, and Chad's only one guy, three at most, four at most. So it is kind of going at a snail's pace. The question is what do we want? Do we want the White Six to have a manifesto and start attacking people NWO style? Do we want them to target people who are all heels? Like, are they here for redemption? That's not understood, so I don't know what to root for. That said, though, American Made's uniforms and costume and ring gear, because they're totally in the group, awesome.
Yeah, their t-shirts are great.
They are. I love this group. I just don't know, because the Wyatt Six can't lose this street fight, right? Like, they've got to win. And I don't know if I see American Made lose again. Like, this team is in a bad spot. You know, it's going to be hard to dig themselves out of a hole of, we just formed a group, we got waxed by this new team, and we've already sort of blown everything with the Alpha Academy. So going back to that will be very old news, and I don't really know if I need to see Otis break free from the guy who just got beat up for like 3 months from the Wyatt Six. So,
question then: will the match next week be a no contest, and we get the next chapter of the Wyatt Six? Will that be?
How do you do a no contest for a street fight?
No, what I'm saying is,
we had a Hell in a Cell that ended via refs' discretion,
but that still had a winner though.
No, but what I'm saying is, do you think a supernatural spooky thing happens and there's no resolution that allows them to finish that and move on to something else?
I hope so.
It's going to be hard for them to pivot to something else without it being a very hard break of like them just going, and now we're haunting you, Karrion Kross.
Please haunt him. Please haunt them.
Why would
Karrion Kross? What did Karrion Kross do to you?
Okay. I want to make this up as objectively as possible, because there's some people in Wrestling Inc. that think that I hate Karrion Kross and Final Testament. I think the group is not good. But what Karrion Kross has been doing with the New Day is psychologically trying to break them up. So if you have someone in a group that's a spirit of vengeance trying to break them up, then at least you can say this makes sense on a spooky, not spooky, psychological, not psychological storyline. Correct? Chad Gables is a guy who's just a jerk. You can beat up jerks with random objects around the house. Come on.
Scott Langford says Karrion Kross likes ska music.
You know what?
Let's be honest. Okay, someone who's good with editing software, if you could make Karrion Kross doing his entrance music to ska, like his entrance, but change the music to ska music, I would love that.
Fallen Prey.
You know, it actually works. It's all black and white, you know, almost like the checker pattern. Put some checker patterns on the wall, and it's like, sell out with me. Oh, yeah, as he walks menacingly.
That is a visual pun.
So, but I mean, it sounds like Karrion Kross on Hard Times, and you want the Wyatt Six to torment the poor guy?
Well, they can't do the New Day anymore, right?
Why not?
Because Odyssey Jones has been fired.
Odyssey Jones is not there. Xavier Woods and Kofi, they had that going on for months with no resolution. So if he goes back to that, it's like, oh yeah, well, if you really believe in Karrion Kross, like how this company does, this might make the most sense to put him with Wyatt Six. So you can pick two different sides and see who can win this feud. Not the Wyatt Six, if they are as strong as they say they are, should have beat up Chad, and they killed him 1 week already. What are they doing this for? It's been 2 months.
Yeah, we got to give Chad Gable more credit for coming back from the dead. Made by Don, Karrion Kross lost his mystic when he grew his hair.
Oh my God, I cannot agree more. Oh my God, 1,000%.
Like a reverse Samson, he grew his hair and then he lost his powers.
This episode's got me so upset.
Danny Carter says Draped in Gold could use a ska countdown.
That's a dope show. Learn more at drapedingold.com.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Unholy Union versus Damage Control. It's a tag team.
Call them by their names. They are the Sky Pirates.
No.
True. They are.
No, they are Damage Control.
Nope. Sky Pirates.
Just like you're those guys that still say Daniel Bryan is his name. Walter is his name. I'm never changing. Come on.
Damage Control is the stable.
I'm never changing.
Damage Control is the group. The Sky Pirates is the tag team.
No, because they did not come out with their pirate gear. Though it did look like Kairi Sane was going to need an eye patch after this one.
That was brutal.
That was pretty rough. Things fall apart when Kairi Sane dives to the outside and hits Bianca Belair and the announce table, which just made me grimace. That was gross. Jade knocks her out. I don't think she needed to because the way she did this. But this allows the Unholy Union to get the win, and they're the number one contenders, but there are still tensions between Damage Control and Jade and Bianca. George, do you want to see more Unholy Union versus Jade and Bianca?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they had a great match at Bash in Berlin. I thought they had probably one of the better women's tag matches that we've seen in a very long time. So I really want to see more of them. I think Alba Fire and Isla Dawn has a world of potential that needs to get tapped into. I wouldn't mind. I thought the finish of this match, though, was a little clunky. I thought the match overall was good, but the finish was a clunky, I'd say I wish Jimmy was here, but that means one of us wouldn't be here. Because I feel like that finish was a little
Jimmy
like, because that finish was like the referee completely saw Jade Cargill hit Kairi Sane and he did nothing about it. And also like Jade completely saw Bianca get pulled into the getting elbow dropped by Kairi Sane. So I feel like why are you mad at Kairi? Like she's kind of the victim here. And yeah, so that kind of threw me off a little bit. And the fact that the ref saw Kairi get hit, maybe they'll turn into a story sometime soon where like, you know, that should have been a disqualification in favor of the Sky Pirates. But other than that, I thought the match was good and I wouldn't mind seeing them again in a tag team match considering how good their last match was.
Yes, there were some ref issues, but I would be quite the hypocrite if I called them out when I defend what happens on other TV shows.
You are a hypocrite.
So I am a hypocrite. So that said, Flobo, we talked a bit about Unholy Union this weekend and their matchup against Bianca and Jade, but also Damage Control. They seem to be the ones with all the, as they say, the heat in this one now with Bianca and Jade. Walk me through this one. What are your thoughts?
So going back to Saturday, you had asked me who would be next for the Women's Tag Team Championships against Jade and Bianca. I said the PFC. And the PFC was feuding with Damage Control before. Now Damage Control has a beef with Jade and Bianca. And of course, Unholy Union wants their titles back. bam, overnight, you got four teams fighting for a championship. Yes, ideally you want side feuds and B and C level feuds, but now you have multiple championship contenders and it can go either way. This is a step in the right direction for all parties involved.
Speaking of the Pure Fusion Collective, Zelina Vega had a match with Shayna Baszler. Vega gets distracted and Baszler gets the win. Pure Fusion Collective beats up Zelina after. Valkyria tries to make the save and she just gets beat up also. Then she's told, shoot your shot, Flobo. George, I'm going to go to you first. Thoughts on this one? I think the world loves Zelina. Everyone wants to see her do well. I don't remember the last time she won a match. And I feel like every time she's on the ring, the commentary team says, it's great to see Zelina Vega back. Yeah. what do we do here?
So she's a definite crowd favorite. The moment and before the match with the sign, obviously very emotional for her and for a lot of people watching it at home. But it seems like they're building toward maybe a sixth woman with Lyra and Natty. They kind of implied that, you know, hey, next week they're in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and you know what better person to kind of represent that city aside from Natalia Neidhart.
Yeah, that could be it, Flobo. They did tell us shoot your shot. Do you think Natty's gonna be the one to shoot her shot?
Yeah, absolutely. Natty would be the great answer, and we love Natty. Although Trish Stratus would be cool, but no, we love Natty. I think it would make sense. I'm also confused about Zelina Vega, and I understand that not everyone can win all the time, but I really try to think from memory the last time she won a one-on-one matchup. And yeah, enhancement talent's part of the business, but I've never seen someone who is this beloved lose so many matches not named Barry Horowitz. Like, she needs a win. She needs an angle. She needs a story. Give her a chance. And if she drops the ball, then say, hey, look, sorry, you had your chance. But if you think about it, she's been in LWO, the most notable member in LWO, and that group contains Rey Mysterio. She can't buy a dub.
Yeah, I don't get it. It feels like they always say, like, you got to get over with the crowd. They say these kind of things. She's everything. Everyone wants her to win. Everyone is cheering for her. Everyone wants her on TV more. You mentioned her being part of the LWO. It feels like she's not even tied to that group anymore. They did say she's representing the LWO, but she doesn't come out with them anymore. They don't come out with her anymore. It's weird. On paper, I just do not understand what more you're looking for to at least give her the opportunity to do something. Even if it's just beating some smaller fish or something, I don't know, winning in NXT, something. Like, it doesn't, it's just weird that I've never seen, well, I shouldn't say never, but it's rare you see someone with this much support for a wrestler and it just not happening.
And continued, because there's people that would lose and you kind of lose interest, right? But people still are coming up being like, oh my gosh, it's Zelina Vega. And then, well, okay.
I feel like she's had the crowd for 5 years. Pre-COVID, she was, people were behind her. But I couldn't tell you what her finisher is.
La Chancla.
Like the actual...
Stop.
I mean, that's unfair. Yeah, like, that could hurt somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like most finishers should hurt people.
Yeah. I mean, there's no safe way. You can't shave down a Chancla.
But going back to her match with Rhea Ripley last year in Puerto Rico, like that, coming out of that was so much momentum that you would think at least should be like a prominent, steady, like mid-carder at least, you know. But yeah, I don't think we've really seen her. I think she had that one match that she just won. But it's like, it's nothing that anybody really remembers. So it's not even like a high profile match that she's winning. She needs to win the big one here and there.
Yeah. So that wraps it up for us. That's the show. We chat about everything. Everyone in the chat, let us know what you thought of the show, whether you thought it was on fire right now or under a rock. That's our new rating system. Flobo, though, there's a way you say it. How would you like them to write it in, on fire or under a rock?
You mean how Triple H does it? Because he says, oh, how I would do it? Or how Triple H would do it?
Well, yeah, how Triple H would do it, but I want you to do it.
Unless you've been living under a rock, WWE's on fire right now, which is the most cheesiest thing I've ever saw in my life.
So was the show living under a rock or was it on fire right now? Flobo, you let us, everyone in the chat, let us know again, 5 stars, comments, retweets and stuff. So, but Flobo, your thoughts on the show and where can the world find you online?
I'm actually watching Zelina Vega's best finishers on YouTube. So it's a Code Red. Basically, it's a Destroyer. It's a little different, but now I know. And a Dragon Sleeper like Ivy Nile. So yes, I love the show. I think it was a light fire number. These holiday shows are always difficult. This one felt kind of long. I felt like it was 3 hours going on to 4 hours. But hey, Joseph Satori came out. We had some dope matches. Jey Uso's in the main event. I'm fine with it. You can follow me at X at Flobo Boys and Jack Farmer and I every Wednesday morning. I used to say we combine like Voltron, but Jack is like, you're old. So I go, we get together like peanut butter and oil to do Draped in Gold, your best NXT show on the planet. Learn more at drapedingold.com.
Yeah. George, Draped in Gold, by the way, I recommend everyone check it out every Wednesday at 10 a.m. It's the premier coverage of NXT. George, I've heard that a lot of people in NXT watch the Draped in Gold, so see what they're seeing. George, where can the world find you? And was it? Oh, Danny Cochran says it was under a fire. Amanda says fire. Made by Don says lukewarm.
Yeah, it's a little spark.
So, George, under a rock or on fire right now? And where can the world find you online?
It is on fire. They were just in the same arena last night for NXT. That was a great show. Raw was, you know, a couple swings and a miss, but overall, I'm digging the direction. Pumped for Sami Zayn versus Gunther. That's going to be a great, fantastic match, no matter what anybody says. The WWE draft used to be good. That's all I got to say about that.
Nostalgia goggles, man.
Nostalgic. Oh, they can bring it back at any time.
They cannot bring it back the way you're thinking. It's not going to hit ever again. I'm just letting you know. I'm sorry. It's dead.
I'll make a call. But you can follow me at G Hermosa. By the way,
you know he's going to call. He's going to call the Big Fox Robot to make his draft pick.
Cletus, hell yeah, Cletus the robot.
By the way, in like about a week or so, you guys are just going to be randomly walking down the street, maybe walking the dog or just kind of hanging out, and you're just going to go like, punter. What a great joke. But you can follow me at G Hermosa, G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A. It's always funny when I make myself laugh. You can follow my YouTube channel, The Wrestling Chatter, youtube.com/The Wrestling Chatter. Got some cool stuff coming up now that I'm monetized again. But I got some cool things in the works. Got a couple phone calls I got to make tomorrow. A couple texts I need to send to finalize some interviews. And then I'll be happy to share them with y'all.
Very exciting stuff over at the Wrestling Chatter. Make sure to give them a follow. I'm going to give this a rare under a rock right now. I felt like this was a very long episode, and I think there's just a lot of stuff I was hoping was going to wrap up that did not wrap up, and it continued. And so I was a little bummed out about that, but you can't win them all. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Now that I have my Twitter back, I got on the phone with Elon Musk personally. Some of that may not be true, but I was like, listen, you got to unlock the account. Something's wrong. And he was like, oh, yes, let me cancel everything else I'm doing right now. Yes, we've got rockets to launch. Yes, we've got autonomous vehicles and rogue AI. But Jack, you are my number one priority. And then he unlocked it for me. And I said, cool. Before you get back to the other stuff, can you just stick around and monitor the account, make sure it's okay? And he's
not
doing that right now.
True. Not even close to being true.
Based on a true story.
Okay, thank you.
So I got that back. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe to me. Follow me. Just do it already. Give me some support out there. I'm begging for it.
Dylan Matthews is the best.
So I gotta go to my Twitter now and see what Dylan Matthews did. But again, make sure to follow me or check me out after AEW on Wednesday. I'm gonna be covering that show here on Wrestling Inc. But also
me too.
Again, we're going to be on there together. And
so am I.
We're back, baby. The also Draped in Gold Wednesday morning. You can check me out on Santino Bros. You can watch Fight Night 14. It's for free on YouTube. I did ring announcing, commentary, and interviews, in-ring interviews. That's how you get your steps in. Tell the world that you want to see me on WWE. Why don't you just tweet it out there? That does it for us. I'm hitting the end stream button, and we'll see you guys next time.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.